Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Lots to talk about today. I want to mostly focus on the Republican tax plan, because as much as I really do care about sexual harassment, and I will talk about it later this week, we have this plan that could pass any moment. And the title of today's show is Republicans Set to Raise Taxes on Trump Chumps. Now, what is a Trump chump? A Trump chump is anyone who still believes in Donald Trump. Now, obviously a minority of Americans voted for Donald Trump. Hillary beat him by millions, namely more than 3 million votes. But 46% of Americans did cast a ballot for Donald Trump on Election Day. Now, about a quarter of those have already learned they were chumps and have already deserted the sinking ship. The remaining Trump chumps, that three-quarters of the 46%, maybe 34% or so, are the ones still left on the Titanic, still wondering, enjoying the band playing as the ship's going down. They're the ones that Donald Trump is set to raise taxes on. Now, if you are one of the Koch brothers, you are not a Trump chump, because the Koch brothers will do very, very, very well from the tax plan. In fact, each Koch brother will make approximately $20 billion, that's billion with a B, not M, not million, $20 billion each. $20 billion for Charles, $20 billion for David. Each one will make $20 billion from the Republican tax plan.
What?
They are not chumps. They are going to take your money and they're going to pocket it. Now, it's going to take millions and millions, really more than 100 million ordinary people losing your paychecks, losing your health care, getting your taxes increased to pay to line the pockets of the Koch brothers and other billionaires. But the billionaires are not chumps. If you are a billionaire and you voted for Donald Trump knowing that he would increase your power and help you take money from working class people, you're not a chump. You're a soulless, evil, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Bastard.
Bastard, yeah, I thought of bastard, but I'm like, you know, that's not, you're a soulless, evil, horrible human.
Scrooge.
But you're not a chump. Because you knew that Donald Trump was lying when he said that he cared about job outsourcing. You knew that his businesses outsource jobs. And you knew that he was never going to help increase American jobs or increase American wages. He was going to basically steal from the poor and give to the rich. No, you're not a chump. You're just a jerk. But the vast majority of Trump voters are Trump chumps. Many of them are rural, white, many evangelical, largely they are uneducated, people without college educations, people who tend to be older and male, often evangelical. These are Trump's base. These are the chumps. Because the Congressional Budget Office has just made clear that the majority of Americans, the majority of us, will pay more taxes under the Republican bill. I want you to think about this. Because Republicans, ever since Ronald Reagan, have tried to say that they're the party of tax cuts. They're the party that wants to decrease your taxes. Instead, the biggest tax increase in American history would be on the middle class. The average Trump, it's hard to say, by the way. Try to say it three times fast. It's not easy. The average Trump chump would pay more taxes at the same time as it would cost the federal government, cost all of us, a $2.2 trillion debt. Now, that debt has to be paid back. That will also require future taxes. That will also require more money from the Trump chumps. Now, again, if you're very, very rich, if you're a billionaire, you're going to do well. Billionaires will get billions. The Trump family alone will make at least $4 billion. So Trump will do very well. Ivanka, don't worry about her. She'll be fine. Eric, Jared, heck, even Tiffany will probably get a billion or so. But if you earn under $75,000, you will have your taxes increased. At the same time as the national debt will be higher than at any point in American history, save during World War II. Now, the best way to measure the debt, the national debt, is not to look at the number. It's way higher than any other time in history, but that's actually not a fair measurement. The fair measurement, the one that economists look at, is what they call the debt to GDP ratio. GDP is the gross domestic product. It's how much the entire national economy creates in a year. That's every single American working, every corporation, every human being, every dollar that goes in, every car sold, burger bought, trip taken, lawyer paid, doctor bill, all of it. All of it added in one. That is our gross domestic product. And there's only one time in all of U.S. history that we've counted. Now, maybe it happened during the Revolution. They didn't do these statistics then, during the American Revolution. But at least for the last 100 years, ever since the Federal Reserve has been around, they have calculated the debt as a percentage of the gross domestic product. And only at one time did we have higher debt than our entire gross domestic product, that we owed more money than the entire nation could create in a year. And that was during World War II. And that was understandable. World War II was a very important war for the world. It was also a time when we had zero economic competition because people who would otherwise compete with us, England, Germany, China, Japan, they were kind of busy. They were kind of busy fighting all-out war. And so our debt went above 100%, and then after World War II, quickly went down again. Even during the New Deal, even during Franklin Delano Roosevelt's massive spending programs to get us out of the Great Depression, debt never went above 100% of GDP. So while Donald Trump is raising your taxes, raising taxes on middle-class people, on the majority of Americans, on working-class people, he's also, and I shouldn't say he, because to be fair, Donald Trump doesn't really know what's in this plan. The Republicans, with Donald Trump's blessing, Paul Ryan et al., Paul Ryan's very happy right now, is giving us the biggest debt that we've ever had, with that one exception of World War II. Now, do you remember something called the Tea Party? Does that seem like ancient history? Can you believe it was just 7 years ago that Republicans ran in November of 2010 and said that they were really concerned about the debt? And that was their biggest concern. That's what they wanted to come to Washington to fight. You have to understand the difference between the way economists and Democrats look at debt and the way Republicans look at debt. Any economist, and by the way, when I say any economist, I include Republican economists, conservative economists. I actually studied under Professor Martin Feldstein of Harvard. He was Ronald Reagan's chief economic advisor. He was my mentor. Clearly a conservative. He was a Republican. But economists don't disagree on some very basic points, which is that when you're in a recession, when you're in a depression, government spending, including deficit government spending, is good for the economy. It's what John Maynard Keynes taught. It's how we came roaring out of the 30s and the 40s. You spend more because people are unemployed, and more people get employed, it helps the economy, and you pay the money back later. You should spend more when you're in a recession. But the worst time to spend more money is when you're at full employment. Classic example of that, and it was a Democrat who did it, was Lyndon Johnson, and actually Richard Nixon following. They didn't want to pay for the war in Vietnam. So even though we had very, very low unemployment in the late 1960s, Lyndon Johnson still spent money on deficit spending on the Vietnam War. So did Richard Nixon. And what did it lead to? It leads to massive inflation. Because when you spend all this money and there are no more workers to hire, well, that just raises the price level. And if you thought the economy was good in the 1970s, you're going to love the Trump Republican economy. Because it leads not only to massive inflation, but then in order to get unemployment down, when it goes up, you need even higher inflation. And that's what happened under, well, Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. You may remember that in 1982, the unemployment rate went higher than 10%. So massive unemployment and massive inflation. That's what this policy leads to when you spend at a time of full employment. Well, thanks to Barack Obama, thanks Obama, we have the lowest unemployment and lowest in inflation in a generation. Unemployment is scraping the bottom of the barrel, and inflation is scraping the bottom of the barrel, and the stock market's at record highs. The Federal Reserve did a very good job. Again, thanks, Obama. We have all these good times. When you spend money in good times, that causes inflation. Now, I'll be the first to recognize that even though the economy overall is good, there's still massive inequality. We still have, more than ever, we have 1% of the country own 1/3 of the nation's wealth. That's huge. Well, luckily for us, the Republican tax plan will increase this inequality. If you think that 1% owning 1/3 of the nation's wealth isn't enough, let them own half the nation's wealth, 2/3 of the nation's wealth. Let 90% of us own virtually nothing. If you like that, and if you do, you probably are a soulless billionaire, then you would support the Republican tax plan. But the Trump chumps get hosed. Now, they're not the only ones that get hosed. Anyone, that frankly, that works for a living rather than relies on dividends and investments gets hosed. But we get hosed in several different ways. First, our taxes go up. That's true. Two, we have this staggering debt burden. That's number two. Three, we're going to have massive inflation and massive interest rates. We're going to bring back the decade of the 70s. It'll take another decade to get out of it. Number four, economists universally agree that it won't have any significant impact on economic growth. Now, they interviewed 38 economists, and every single one of them agreed on this, conservative or liberal. And the reason they all agreed is quite simple. It's a basic economic principle. When the economy's at full employment and you can't hire any more people, then all it can do is increase the price level, which kind of makes sense when you think about it, right? If you have all the business you can handle, then all you can do is increase your prices. And if we don't have immigrants, and Donald Trump's busy deporting as many immigrants as possible to take on the extra jobs, again, that just increases the price level. The other thing it will do, and this is real important, is it will increase the incentive of companies to take jobs abroad, to outsource jobs, to do what Donald Trump did when he sold his ties and his vodka and all the other things he bought in China and Mexico and wherever else he sent his companies. Because the way the tax plan is structured, it goes mostly to corporations, and they have a massive incentive to fire American workers and hire cheap labor abroad. Oh, and here's a fun fact. If you earn less than $16,000 a year, you will pay more in taxes than your over 10 years than your entire annual income. So great deal if you're the Koch brothers, but if you're a Trump chump, you're going to get hosed. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK. If you want to call in, 888-488-6275. Be right back.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
And
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So Trump chumps are going to suffer most under this tax plan. They're going to have tax increases. You know, it's rare that Republicans run on tax increases. They always claim that Democrats are doing tax increases. But the Congressional Budget Office is a nonpartisan outfit, and they don't lie. And the majority of Americans will see their taxes go up, even though we take on unprecedented debt, larger than New Deal debt, debt that rivals World War II debt that we all have to pay back. So who are the Trump chumps? Well, they're the people that still support Trump. They're the kind of people who, for example, went to Trump University and paid $34,000 thinking they were going to get really good jobs at an unaccredited university that played some YouTube videos that they could have watched for free. That would be a Trump chump. They'd be the people who supplied his businesses with 60 grand pianos and he didn't pay them. Or the architect that did a really good job, but Trump stiffed him. Frankly, anyone working for Trump is a Trump chump, but now it appears it's the majority of America. Let's go to Paul, line four in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Nice point about when you've got an economy that essentially has full employment, which we do, I think we're at about 4.1% unemployment. That's 96% of the people in the workforce are employed. And then you start giving away free money in an economy that really can't grow, as the way you point out. That's a recipe for inflation, number one. When you have a $20 trillion debt, $20 trillion national debt that you're about to make, about $22 trillion, increase it by essentially 10%, yet you're giving away free money.
And you're giving it almost exclusively to rich people who won't spend it. Because when you give it to when you tax middle-class people so they can afford less consumer goods, and you give it to people who already have all the gold toilet seats they need, that actually takes productive money out of the economy and gives it to unproductive people, which is why every economist asked said this will not help growth.
Right, right. Because, yeah, the rich just sit on their money. I don't have any problem with people making a lot of money as long as, you know, I don't have a problem with you making $10 million a year. As long as you're drinking champagne and eating caviar every night, as long as you're spending your money, don't make $10 million a year and act like and spend it like you're making $50,000 a year, which is what they do.
That's right. And the biggest part of the money goes to people who die, and it's really hard to make money from your death. Most people don't try to die. Number two, it goes even more goes to multinational corporations. So Saudi princes will do well. Dictators who stash their money in global tax-free accounts will do well, but ordinary Americans will actually have their taxes go up.
Well, listen to this observation that I about the 1%. This just surprises a lot of people, but I'm going to give you some numbers that I got off conservative talk radio. So this is what we'll use so that they can't say that I'm twisting their numbers. Okay. They say there's about 150 million federal taxpayers in the country.
I'll tell you what, Paul. It sounds like you're going to go into some detail, and I have to take a break. So we'll leave that as a teaser for our listeners. When we come back, Paul will give us his numbers on the 1%. You can call in, too, and add your 2 cents, which is a lot cheaper than the amount you're going to pay in these taxes. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
In an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about the GOP tax scam. The bill really punishes the Trump chumps. I mean, think about the irony. People with college educations voted for Hillary Clinton. People without tend to vote for Donald Trump. People in cities and even the suburbs mostly voted for Hillary Clinton. People in rural areas, areas where people are struggling, tended to vote for Donald Trump. People who have states that provide decent health care benefits mostly voted for Hillary Clinton. People who have states that are very skimpy on health care benefits mostly voted for Donald Trump. Now, there are people all across the board. There are rich liberals, certainly, and there's certainly poor liberals and rich conservatives and poor conservatives. But when you look at the fact that this bill will not only be a massive transfer of wealth from middle-class people to extremely rich people. But it will also increase outsourcing of jobs and actually make it harder for manufacturing to stay in America because it will encourage corporations to take jobs abroad. You have to say, well, the people who believe Donald Trump when he said it wouldn't are chumps. And they either realize it now or they're going to sadly realize it later. And they may not believe me, some liberal talking head. Will they believe all of the economists? Oh, no, they're economists. They have schooling. They can't be trusted. The Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan bean counters, how about them? Are they going to believe them? Will they have to wait until we're in a Great Depression or a massive inflation before they recognize that we're in inflation and debt? I mean, we went through the 70s. That was a tough decade. That was really hard. Is it that nobody remembers massive inflation, massive unemployment? Do we have to go back there for people to realize that they're being had? Or can we convince three Republicans not to go down this route? Paul, I interrupted you before. I'm going to give you the floor now. You were going to give me some statistics when I had to move to break.
Right. Okay. Well, this is what the analysis that you'll get from the right wing will tell you this. First of all, they'll say there are about 150 million federal taxpayers in this country, which I think is accurate. So how many are the 1%? Well, 1% is 1.5 million. 1.5 million are the 1%. Now, they'll tell you, well, wait a minute, because the 1% starts at earning about $500,000 a year. So who earns $500,000 a year? A heart surgeon, neurosurgeon, yeah, okay. And they'll say, don't you think that a heart surgeon who works long hours and does that, don't you think that person needs a tax cut? Well, yeah, I have sympathy for that person, except for this. They'll also tell you that the 1% earn 21% of our GDP last year, and they paid 39% of the taxes. Well, except for this, 21% of the GDP is about $4 trillion, about $3.9 or $4 trillion. So in other words, 1.5 million people earned $4 trillion,
right,
leaving
20%.
The rest of the country to earn the other $14 trillion.
Well, the other thing
the
to keep in mind is they're not all heart surgeons. So I don't know what Eric Trump has done in his life, but I guarantee you he makes more than $500,000 a year because he has a rich daddy.
That's what I'm about to tell you is there's a big disparity even in the 1%. Yeah, that starts at $500,000 a year, but in order to get to $4 trillion out of 1.5 million people, there are some people in there making bazillions of dollars a year, they're not doing good work like heart surgery.
Well, the Koch brothers will make, under this bill, $20 billion, with a B, $20 billion just in excess revenue from this tax bill.
Right. So what we're
$20 billion each.
Here,
each brother. One gets $20 billion, the other gets $20 billion. Now, think
right,
how many people have to give up their health care and give up their second car and give up money they would use for rent or for Christmas presents to give the Koch brothers, the Scrooges, $20 more billion to play with each.
Right. Because we're not talking about the 1.5 million people that are the 1%. What we're really talking about is about 150,000 people who are the 1/10 of 1%. They're the ones who are really mopping up on this tax scam.
And I'll give you another statistic.
Because they're the ones who have all the influence all over the Republican Party. They're the bazillionaires
right.
who don't need one more penny in their pocket.
They're the ones who aren't chumps.
$20 trillion national debt, and they want to add $2 trillion more.
Right. They're evil and soulless and cruel and unpatriotic.
50,000 people.
But they're evil and soulless and cruel and unpatriotic, but they're not chumps. They know that they're raping poor people, middle-class people, even upper-middle-class people, in order to pad their pockets. They're
right.
doing it
That's
because
right.
they're
they
greedy
are, they are
jerks.
They're ripping everybody off who's making, yeah, people who are hard workers, who have educations, who make $250,000 to $500,000. They're ripping them off, too.
And some billionaires aren't. I mean, Warren Buffett, he doesn't support this kind of thing. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't support. Whatever you think of them, there are billionaires who actually want to be fair. These are not them. But I'll give you one more statistic. The other thing this bill will do is remove health care from 15 million Americans. And studies show that approximately 1% of people without health care die every year from lack of that health insurance, from lack of health insurance. So 15 million without health care means that 150,000, do the math, 150,000, that same number you quoted, will die because of that inadequate health care. So each American will die so that some billionaire gets more money that they don't need, won't use, and it's just an entry in their
And on the way to their dying, they will be extra expensive patients.
That's true. And the last question will be
extra expensive
on
their way out.
To pay for it. And then the last question is, will they vote for Trump before they die? That's what I want to know. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling in.
All they want to do is win the argument.
I want to get to a few other callers here. We've got Julian, my friend from my hometown of Alexandria, line 5. How are you, Julian?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Mark, I wanted to ask you this. I've been looking at these the table of the taxes for per income level, and it seems to me that not only are the billionaires going to get a huge present, but this plan seems to be aimed at deliberately punishing professional people on salaries in blue states who tend to vote Democratic, people on, say, 150,000 to 250,000 people
who pay state taxes,
pay their health care, they pay taxes, they pay high property taxes.
That's right. Property taxes, state and local taxes, that's exactly right.
College expenses, health care expenses, all these are going to go.
But if you're a Saudi prince and you run a multinational corporation, you can do really well under this plan. So it does help some people.
Oh, yeah, but do you think it might be deliberately aimed at punishing people in blue states who don't?
You know, I don't know. It's not the Trump tax plan because he has no idea what's in it. One. It's funny because one thing that makes Trump, I won't say he's a good liar because I think he's a bad liar, but let's just say a more believable liar, at least among the Trump chumps, is that he really has no idea what's true or false, so he just claims anything. And but this is the Paul Ryan tax plan. This is what Paul Ryan, ever since he was a 6-year-old, has wanted, right? I mean, this is his dream: tax the poor to give to the rich. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they're going after the people in blue states. We know that blue states tend to provide things through their income tax system. That's why we have nice parks in Alexandria, Virginia, and parades and health care and better hospitals and better facilities for victims of violence and a better police force. We pay for it. We pay for it through taxes. And you find that in red states, in poorer jurisdictions, they tend to find very little public services, you know, virtually no libraries, virtually no help for anyone who's in trouble, no job programs, nothing. It doesn't surprise me that it comes out this way. My question is, are we going to stop this? Well, one of the things I'm concerned about, Julian, is that for all the very important discussion that we're having about sexual harassment, and I'm going to talk about this later this week. So don't worry, I will get to the topic. It is a very important discussion. I fear that with all the horrific stuff Donald Trump does day to day, that this largely wonky, largely boring tax plan, which is a radical, radical Scrooge-like plan, is just going to go unnoticed. And we'll all be talking about, you know, LeVar Ball and whether or not he should say thank you to Donald Trump. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's wonky and it's boring, but it actually, this affects our lives much, much more than the vast majority. Harassment does affect our lives, but certainly this stuff over the basketball game or who said thank you to whom really doesn't. And so that's why I really want to talk about it today, because I hear very little discussion of this tax bill, and it's coming this week. And it's up to all of us to call our United States senators and tell them to oppose this bill, particularly if you live in a state with a Republican senator, because I think the Democrats will stand firm. We need 3 Republicans to flip. Maybe Jeff Flake, maybe Bob Corker, maybe Susan Collins. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has already said he's going to vote against it, but we could firm up his vote. It's important to chat about these things. Did you have anything more you wanted to add, Julian?
No, that's it, Mark, but thank you very much. I was thinking particularly in terms of all these deductions that professional people tend to make. Apparently, these are all going to be removed.
Yep. I mean, here's the thing. You know, if you want to not deduct the second home mortgage, if you want to not deduct the private jet, I'm fine with that. Don't deduct any of that.
That's fine.
But telling a kindergarten teacher that she can't buy supplies for her kids in a school district where they don't provide enough supplies, and she's getting crayons for them, and she can't deduct that on her $30,000 salary, yeah, that's just downright cruel.
That's just mean.
Downright cruel. Thanks for your call, Julian. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to take a break. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Hey, you know what? In this four-minute break, give Congress a call. You can do it in 4 minutes. Call 202-224-3121. That's your Capitol switchboard. Ask for your senator. If you don't know who your senator is, just say, I'm from, name your state. Say, pass me to one of my senators. Call 202-224-3121 and urge them to vote against this tax atrocity. Right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the Republican tax bill, and then I also want to talk about the battle over consumer protection and why it is that Republicans support fraud. I mean, I want you to think about that. Why it is that they support fraud. I know why Trump supports fraud. He's made a lot of money off defrauding chumps. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars stealing from people stupid enough to give him money. Why do Republicans writ large support fraud? I'll get to that in a second. I do want to get to a caller who's been hanging on for a while. Reggie, line three in Georgia. How are you, sir?
Happy Monday to you, Mark.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Well, how do you feel about the GOP? How do you feel about the GOP, and why did the GOP, and how can we stop the GOP in general, and Donald J. Trump in particular? Well, concerning these tax bills and stuff like that.
At the end of the day, we just have to use our grassroots power. So until we get to elections, I think we did a really good job in Virginia. Very proud of my home state, but also in New Jersey and Washington State and some other states across the country, in Maine. There's big elections in 2018. In the meantime, we have to make them afraid. We have to let our elected representatives in Congress know that we're going to vote them out if they harm us like this. And we have to let them know that we are going out, not just for our vote, but we're going to do what we did in Virginia. We're going to go door to door. We're going to get our neighbors to vote. We're going to get our whole church to vote and our whole community group to vote. And, you know, everything we're involved in, our whatever it is, could be a knitting class, could be a soccer group, whatever it is. We're going to get everyone in our group to vote. We got to scare them. We got to let them know that we're not chumps, that we know we're being taken for a ride, and that we don't believe them anymore. And that's why I really hope people will call their members of Congress. Thanks for your call, Reggie. I just, in the last few minutes, I want to talk a little bit about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Again, sounds wonky, sounds like a mouthful, actually very important. This is a bill that came out of the Dodd-Frank legislation. Barney Frank was my former boss. I used to work for Barney Frank as his legislative counsel on Capitol Hill. And this is really a masterful piece of legislation. It's not perfect, nothing is, but this legislation was designed to protect us so we would never need a Wall Street bailout again. It's designed to watch the banks carefully, to make sure they're not too big to fail, to make sure that they don't make bets that they can't pay off, to make sure they don't cheat us, selling us things, while at the same time making bets on the other side. It's kind of like an arsonist selling you fire insurance. That's what they used to do on the Hill, in Wall Street. Goldman Sachs would sell you all this paper and then bet against you twice as much on the other end. You're not knowing that they were doing it. So it's like an arsonist says, sure, you can have fire insurance. I'll sell you fire insurance, but the payment goes to me, and then he sets fire to your house. You can't trust someone who's not working in your interest. Well, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was set up to have a government watchdog agency in your interest, looking out for you, making sure it was fair. In fact, the first proposed chair was going to be Elizabeth Warren. When the Republicans refused her, she decided to run for Senate. She's now Senator Elizabeth Warren today. But her close deputy, Richard Cordray, became the chair and did a very good job looking out for consumers' interests, looking to protect against fraud. Now, apparently, he's running for governor of Ohio, and he designated a deputy director, Leandra English, and then went ahead and resigned to run for office. All that would be pretty normal, except that they're not allowing Leandra English to take power. Now, the law on this is actually very clear. Because, and I'm a legislator, most of you know, I am a delegate, the Virginia House of Delegates. I know how legislation works. I'm also a lawyer. Whenever you have legislation, the later in time legislation works, which makes sense, right? You have a law that bans something, and like prohibition banned sale of alcohol, and then you repeal it, the later law wins. Those two laws contradict. But if you pass a law banning alcohol in 1919, and then you pass a law repealing the ban on alcohol in 1933, the last act wins. That's the way democracy works, right? We get to pass new laws to replace old laws. Well, the general law in the federal government was that the president can replace in a vacancy, but certain organizations, certain agencies of government are designed to be independent. For example, the Federal Reserve is designed to be independent. We don't want presidents manipulating the money supply every day in order to try to get reelected. So we set aside this semi-independent branch of government called the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve chairman cannot be fired by the president except for cause. Cause would be something like malfeasance in office, you know, stealing money, being on the take, bribery, alcoholism, incompetence, things like that. But if Donald Trump doesn't like Janet Yellen, he couldn't fire her. He has to wait till her term expires. The same is true with consumer financial protection, because the authors of Dodd-Frank, including my boss, Barney Frank, knew this was a controversial watchdog agency. This would be an agency that protected ordinary consumers at the expense of Wall Street. They're Wall Street's cops, and they knew that people would pay billions of dollars to get rid of the cops so they could go ahead, steal your money, bet against you, make billions, and then if they lose it, be too big to fail and demand a bailout. But Dodd-Frank was determined to prevent what happened under George Bush in 2008 from ever happening again. So that required strict watchdogs. And Republicans hate people who watch over people committing crimes, unless they're low-level crimes. You know, they're fine. Well, I guess they're fine with child molesting, too, now that they want to elect Roy Moore. But generally, as long as the criminal is poor and black, they're fine with locking them up. But when the criminal is rich and white, they don't usually want to lock them up because those people are paying for the Republicans' campaign funds. So they don't want people watching over Wall Street. They want Wall Street to get billions of dollars and then be bailed out by taxpayers because they get more money in their campaign funds. They hate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And the leading hater of that bureau was Mick Mulvaney, the current budget director, who as a congressman said the whole thing was worthless and needed to be abolished. So now Donald Trump wants to put in the guy who wants to abolish the agency. But you know what? He can't do it. He can only fire Leandra English for cause. That's what the law says. Well, Mick Mulvaney says, I'm in charge here. He went to work today. It will all be decided in a court of law. I wish I could be optimistic. But the judge in charge is a Trump judge. Donald Trump's been packing the courts faster than any president in American history, with people who are completely unqualified, people who've never tried a case, people who are 2 years out of law school. He's been giving them federal jobs for life. And I fear that with these cronies taking over our judiciary, we'll have no power to take back our country. Watch this case carefully. This is Mark Levine signing off.